That's the almond butter stuck in my teeth.
Yeah, it'll get in there. It'll get in there real good.
Spit off of your laptop?
I'll spit.
Pizza grease. That's kind of on brand for you, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a lot of pizza, dude.
Welcome to the Pre-Dead Boys. It's a podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name is Dorian. With me, as always, is Pizza Max. Always coated in a thin film of pizza grease. How you doing, man?
Well, now that you've been very rude to me, it's December.
Mm-hmm.
It's 70 degrees, or like it was like 65 today, inexplicably.
Yeah, in December.
Yeah.
This is magical.
It's real weird.
Yeah.
It's going to be cold again tomorrow.
Yep.
But I was sitting there, and I was enjoying this very nice day. I went for a nice run.
Nice.
It was cool. And I was sitting in the cafe, enjoying what is, in my opinion, the best sandwich in Columbus, the Turkey Reuben at Cornerstone Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And inexplicably, there was just like a trolley, like a Christmas trolley that was going up and down High Street.
What?
I'd never seen it before. I hadn't heard about it, but I just saw it go by, and under my breath, I just went, fuck you. I felt very upset about it.
Why? Are you not in the Christmas spirit,
no,
you old Scrooge?
No, I do not like Christmas. I do not like Christmas at all.
Not at all?
No, I hate it.
Wow.
I don't know why. I like the animated Grinch. That's fun.
Yeah. Would you say that you are a bit of a Grinch?
Absolutely.
Considering all of the hot takes that we've had on music that people like, and we're angering the people that listen to our podcast and are very nice to us by making fun of Sir Paul McCartney.
Now I'm leaning into Christmas, the beloved holiday, and also snow. I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there. It's all shit. Life is shit.
It's garbage.
Life is shit, and that's why we're talking about death today. No, life's all right, but we are going to talk about death. Max always prepares some very, very good research for us on a particular topic relating to death. What do you have for us today?
Well, I figured since we had just been talking about the holidays, you know, what's the kind of gift everyone wants to receive?
A Nintendo Switch.
That's what I want to receive very badly. But you want that one-of-a-kind thoughtful gift. You want that really personal. The person who bought it for you didn't just go and be like, Dorian has a neck, maybe he wants a tie. Dorian has feet, maybe he wants socks.
Right.
You know, you want something that's catered to you, that's cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten a gift like that?
Yeah. I bought myself a Nintendo Switch last month.
I guess that's kind of like when I bought my 2DS. That's how I felt.
It's a gift to yourself. Don't cheat yourself. Treat yourself.
I think my mom's going to get me a weighted blanket.
Ooh, okay.
Which I really like.
Yeah.
A lot. Because she texted me a week ago and was like, hey, what do you think about weighted blankets? And I was like, I mean, they seem pretty cool. She was like, would you use one? And I was like, yeah. Why? She was like, I was just wondering. No problem.
Yeah. Real subtle there, Mom.
Yeah, real subtle. So I know you're probably out there and you're thinking, all this gift talk is great, but I tuned into this podcast for death talk, you dingus.
Yeah.
You big dummies.
I want my money back.
This is death talk. Well, it's right here, because today we're going to be talking about one-of-a-kind funerals and burials.
Ooh, okay.
We're going to be putting the fun back in funeral here. A little fun pick-me-up before we enter the dark days of winter.
Yes.
That's why you have a very fun skeleton on the top of your notes.
Yeah, thank you for this. That is a very personal gift from you to me that I really appreciate, is this photo of a wine-drinking skeleton having a good time.
The skeleton walks into a bar and he says, hey, bartender, I need a beer and a mop.
Jesus Christ.
Yikes. So, it's time to crack into the topic with the Pre-Dead Boys crack into the topic moment. This time, brought to you by Waterloo.
Woo!
Back on the Waterloo tip.
Waterloo melon. Delicious flavor.
Yeah, right? I think watermelon is the fruit of the summer.
Yeah. It's tricking me into thinking that it's summer right now.
Yeah.
And it's making me think about cold and snow a lot less.
Yeah. There's always that the song of the summer debate. But I think watermelon can be the fruit of the summer.
Yeah.
Pretty easily.
It's like 200 years running.
Yeah. You've never eaten a watermelon in winter. Guarantee it, you never have.
Don't count me out. I eat a lot. All of the time. All sorts of foods. Don't challenge me.
It's a fucking lie. Nursing you eat. So, let's lead off with a very good funeral story. Dorian, were you ever in high school?
Actually, yes. As a matter of fact.
Cool. So you've seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas before?
Yes. Yes. Several dozen times, actually.
Cool. So, the book that movie was based on was written by a journalist named Hunter S. Thompson. Now, Hunter S. Thompson was a pretty out there dude. He did a lot of drugs.
A what?
And a lot of other drugs.
Right.
And a lot of drugs. He did a lot of drugs.
Uppers, downers, pint of raw ether.
Blippers.
What have you.
Flippums.
Pikachus.
He also hung out with a lot of outsiders. He was a countercultural icon. I've never been a huge fan, but a cool thing about Hunter S. Thompson that I really respect is that I don't know if you're familiar with his funeral, but he was able to go out in a pretty rad way.
On August 20th, 2005, in a private funeral, Thompson's ashes were fired from a cannon. This was accompanied by red, white, blue, and green fireworks, all to the tune of Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky and Bob Dylan's Mr. Tambourine Man. The cannon was placed atop a 153-foot tower, which had the shape of a fist clutching peyote.
Kind of leans into what he was
Woo!
He was all about.
That's awesome.
Now, this happened in August, but it's worth noting that Thompson actually died in February.
Whoa, so, okay.
Yeah. So he was cremated, and they just kind of let his ashes sit around for a long time. But this whole plan, you know, it took a while to come together. It was a pretty outrageous funeral, but luckily the whole thing is on YouTube for us to watch.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, check it out real quick.
This river of mountains is a giant valley 20 miles across.
Is this property that you own now?
Yeah. Property goes back over the cliffs. I can do whatever I want to build there. McDonald's, I can do it back there.
That's so awesome.
Pretty big funeral there.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough act to follow.
Yeah, but it's goofy. You can see all the, like, multiple just sets of drummers.
Yeah.
Doing big drum circles. One of my favorite parts of that video, Thompson drafted this whole thing by himself. And he's sitting in this room with all these kind of, like, stuffy businessmen types. And is just unfolding this big blueprint of, like, a giant fist.
Right.
With a big thing of peyote. And they're like, yeah, well, I think we can get it done. Do you own the property? Is this your...
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I own it. Yeah, it's cool.
I like that it had to have two thumbs.
Had yeah, to be I a don't two-thumb understand fist. That.
I don't either. Maybe I didn't read enough Hunter Thompson in high school, which was a critique that I did not think I would level against high school Dorian, is that I didn't read enough.
Enough. So I think one of the cool things about Thompson is that he actually planned the whole thing out himself. Like we saw in that video, he did all the blueprints. He got the land permits. This was his baby. He knew what he wanted his final vision to be. And to his credit, the damn thing done got did.
For sure.
Like, there's that video of just fireworks going off and everyone's cheering. It's it's also worth noting that America's biggest doofus, Johnny Depp, bankrolled a lot of this.
Okay.
Because Hunter S. Thompson was almost broke when he died. And here's a bit from a Guardian article where it talks about how much old JD dropped into Thompson's funeral.
Former managers for the actor Johnny Depp have alleged that he spent $3 million firing the late author Hunter S. Thompson's ashes from a cannon. All I'm doing is trying to make sure his last wish comes true, said Depp at the time. I just want to send my pal out the way he wants to go out. Depp played Thompson in the 1998 movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and the two men remained friends until Thompson's death in 2005. Thompson, who died at age 67, had said that he would like his ashes scattered in such fashion. Thompson's widow, Anita, said, "He loved explosions." Attendees of Thompson's funeral included John Kerry, Jack Nicholson, John Cusack, Bill Murray, Benicio Del Toro, and Sean Penn.
It's a big one. A lot of A-list celebs there.
That's a better cast than a lot of movies coming out of Hollywood today.
Am I right?
Hey.
Anything that gets Johnny Depp to drop $3 million on blowing a bunch of stuff up is pretty good in my book.
Yeah, I agree.
Not a big JD fan.
Me neither, but we've had enough hot takes on this podcast
lately.
That's true. Let's not anger the Johnny Depp fans.
Tone it back. So it's pretty cool that Thompson had his funeral vision realized. Some people don't get that, you know? It takes a lot of trust to leave that plan in a last will and testament and believe that those you leave behind are actually going to get it done.
Right.
It's kind of a stretch. I may have mentioned this before, but my mom has actually left money in her will for me so that when she dies, she can be cremated. And then I get to go to Canada and scatter her ashes from the top of a lighthouse in Nova Scotia.
Wow, okay.
Which is pretty cool. I don't know if it's legal.
We'll edit that out so there's no incriminating evidence against
yeah.
you.
It's going to be kind of like a fun like buddy comedy, I think. Just like me driving into Canada with my mom's ashes in the passenger seat and like across the border. And the guards are like, "What's that?" And I'm like, "Wee."
There are so many levels of this that sound like a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
And I love it.
It could be like a... What's that? The Raid? Is that the Korean movie where they have to go up to the top of the...
Yeah, Indonesian.
Indonesian, yeah.
Yeah, get to the top floor and a lot of people get thrown through walls. And it's now on Netflix. If you haven't watched The Raid Redemption and you like anything that has anything to do with martial arts or people getting punched in the mouth...
Yeah.
You have to watch it. It's so good.
So watch it and then envision me climbing a lighthouse and doing that to the lighthouse security guards with my mom's ashes. Well, get it done, Mom.
But that's cool. She set aside the funds to help provide for that.
Uh-huh. Like I get a plane ticket or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can take ashes on a plane. I don't know. It's my fucking mom. We don't plan things.
I don't know. Why wouldn't you be able to take ashes on a plane? What are you going to do with the ashes? What's the worst that you could do with ashes?
Like, really, like Lebowski, you could make a milkshake. Make someone drink them.
Yeah, but even still, what happens when you drink someone's ashes in a milkshake? That's nothing real bad.
You're fine.
You'll be right.
I don't know.
TSA, leave us alone.
Bureaucrats. So it's cool that Thompson's dream was realized.
Yeah.
But what if you didn't want to trust that folks were going to be able to take care of your dreams?
You have to kill yourself. No, don't do that.
You don't do that. You don't do that. You don't get a bunch of flakes to execute your will. Or you could do what Zhang Jia did and just have a practice funeral with everyone you were going to invite to your regular one.
A dress rehearsal.
Dress rehearsal. This woman kicks ass and I want to be her friend. I think I found her Twitter, but she hasn't tweeted since like 2016. So I can't. But she has a very cool story. Check it out.
Chinese student Zheng Jia staged her own funeral in Wuhan on March 30th, 2013. According to reports, Zheng hired a team of cosmetic artists to make her look like a corpse, reversing the typical funeral makeup process. Zheng, 22, laid in a coffin for an hour, pretending to be dead, while mourners walked past, paying their tributes. Zheng told China Daily, "I feel so good after coming out of the coffin. It struck me that people spend all that time and effort on someone when they are gone and they cannot appreciate it. I wanted to see what people would think of me, so I decided to hold my funeral while I could enjoy it." It is not clear whether mourners were aware it was a pseudo-funeral initially, but it quickly became clear in the end when she jumped out of the coffin and gave a speech.
Huge fan of this woman. She seems super cool. She really goes all out. Look at these photos.
Wow. Maybe it's just this particular photo, but she definitely does not look dead.
I get that she hired a makeup team, but I can't imagine how difficult it would be to make a living person look like they've been embalmed.
Yeah.
For a fake funeral. But she's got like a huge podium she's resting on, and there's flowers.
She is flanked by flowers completely.
I think my favorite thing is the big poster of herself that she has in the background.
Wearing a tutu with glitter and sparkles everywhere.
Do you notice what she has on her chest?
Is that Hello Kitty?
It's a Hello Kitty.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't really know where I fall on this, because if people thought she was dead, that's a pretty self-centered move. To be like, who's going to show up at my funeral? I'm going to find out by faking my death.
I want to know what people really think about me.
But if they were in on it in advance, it's pretty cool.
Solid prank.
Yeah. You know, she said she felt a lot better about life after coming out of the coffin.
Yeah.
Like when we talk about terror management theory, it reminds me a little bit of that, where you kind of have to look death in the face.
Right.
You know?
Being aware of your own mortality actually enriches your life.
Yeah. You know, in South Korea, a lot of psychologists are actually starting to recommend pseudo-funerals for people struggling with depression. So what they'll recommend you do is, if you're dealing with depression and having to go through it, they'll recommend that you sit down and like write your own eulogy and then do like hours of quiet meditation in a coffin.
Yeah, I think that, isn't there a Vice News clip about that, or some kind of Vice documentary?
Yeah,
I watched that. It was fascinating.
Did you pick up anything from it, like, that you can add, or?
No.
Sorry for calling you out on that.
I watched it, and I thought it was good.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't know. They didn't really say if it worked or not.
Well, all of the experiences that were shared in the documentary, all of the people were really grateful and kind of glowing and had a renewed value of their own life.
Yeah.
Because I think all of the cases were, people were depressed to the point of contemplating suicide, like very extreme.
Oh, okay. I just read about, I read their article about it. I didn't watch the documentary.
Yeah. My understanding is that they were at a very low point in life, and coming out of that experience, they realized, no, I don't actually want to die, and I'm really glad that I actually took the time to contemplate this, and it renewed their perspective on things.
Yeah. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
That's neat. I'll have to look more into that.
Yeah, look it up.
So, if you notice, a thing at Jia's funeral that she does not have, that we've talked about before, is the Chinese funeral stripper tradition.
And thank God for that.
Yeah.
Because that would be awkward.
If that's your thing, more power to you. Seems like it would make the funeral a little weird.
Conflicting emotions.
You know what would make a bit of a more conflicting funeral guest, though?
What's that?
Clowns.
Oh, is this what we're going to talk about next?
Yeah. How would you feel about clowns at your funeral?
Very bummed out. I would come back to life out of pure anger.
You probably wouldn't want to hang out with this dude from Ireland then, who has created a whole company where he brings clowns to people's funerals.
Oh, no.
It's pretty fucking remarkable. Check it out.
Are you shitting me? Is this real? Yeah. I can't believe you're making me read this.
It's fucking wild.
Okay, here we go.
Fuck people who do this, by the way. It fucking sucks.
Gary Perry. That's his clown name.
Clown nom de plume.
Gary Perry, a.k.a. John Brady, said that the idea for his company Dead Happy Ireland came to him when he was thinking about how he would like to be remembered. He says, "I was talking to some friends and joked that I'd like to be buried in a clown costume. Then I thought about the idea of having clowns at funerals."
You should have fucking stopped right there.
Yeah. Brady's goal is to allow the family of the deceased to experience a degree of joy at a normally emotionally heavy moment. An ad copy for Dead Happy Ireland reads, "We bring squirting flowers. We make balloon animals. We can even fall into the grave if you want us to. Let your loved one go down with a smile." What the fuck?
This dude should have stopped at, "I thought about the idea of having clowns at funerals. And then I thought about different things, because that's a bad idea.
And then I thought, that's ridiculous. Let's move on. But this was this a successful business?
His wasn't particularly. I think it's because, like, so the ritual clown is a thing.
Okay.
We're going to talk about this a little more.
Okay.
This is a thing in Europe. I don't think people appreciated this dude falling into people's open graves.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Seems like a bad look.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned, these people prefer to be known as ritual clowns, not funeral clowns, ritual clowns.
Okay.
And the industry is pretty popular in Europe. The people who practice it also take themselves pretty seriously. Some of them are cool, I promise. Check this next guy out.
Roloff van Wijngaarden is Holland's mourning clown. His appearances at funerals constitute only a very small part of his work. He says, "There's a great deal of interest in the role of the clown in funeral expressions, while grief processing can come in many forms. There's also the grief of those incapacitated through an accident, Alzheimer's, dementia, mental illness, addiction, those marginalized by society. We invite people to break tradition and taboos in how we view death. We find meaning in acceptance, security, and trust." However, in spite of the scholarly death-positive lens van Wijngaarden views his work through, he still claims that his favorite trick is to loudly fart during a solemn part of the eulogy. This guy's cool as fuck.
Yeah, this guy's pretty rad. And I really appreciate his... it reminds me a little bit of Patch Adams, where his whole thing is, you know, like you read, people find meaning in acceptance, security, and trust. And he does a lot of outreach towards people who are hospitalized for addiction or Alzheimer's, because he views that as bringing people together.
Huh.
And so he thinks that, you know, that should also happen at funerals. And I think that's pretty rad. Farting is kind of gauche, though. And if you're just, like, farting during a very quiet part of a funeral...
I love that it's during the eulogy, too. They're really trying to pay their respects to someone. But that's me. I love irreverent fart humor. I will always giggle at it. Man, I might even fuck around and have that at my funeral, Max.
Fly this guy across the pond. He seems like a solid dude and, like, genuinely, like, an interesting person who really cares about kind of bridging the gap between the grieving and moving on with your life in a smooth way.
Yeah.
If you're in the States and you want to do that, I'm not going to call you out on it. I'm okay with it not having moved over stateside yet. As far as I can tell, that might be because of... You remember, like, a few years ago when there were, like... a weird rash of clown attacks.
Yeah, just people in clown costumes being weird and stalking people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bizarre. It was fantastic, too, because at the time I co-led a junior high Bible study. And sure. all the students in my youth group were like, we pick them up for the meeting and they'd be like, I saw a clown, it was right there. And I'd be like, I can't say that you didn't see a clown. I really don't know at this point.
Yeah.
What has America become?
We, like, created a tulpa where we just willed it into existence.
Yeah.
But also, like, nothing happened. Nothing came of it. The kids I work with at the library, they had, like, Halloween party invites.
Mm-hmm.
And they specifically said, no blood and no clowns. And I wonder if that's a holdover.
No blood, no clowns, 2020.
My platform. Here in the States, though, we have developed a few pretty distinctly American ways of being buried. And not just Hunter S. Thompson's big firework peyote fist explosion thing. So we're actually going to jump a few miles west of where we are to Mechanicsburg, Ohio.
Oh.
I don't know if you've ever been. There's not much there.
Yeah.
There, we find the story of a guy named Billy Stanley. Now, this dude... Dude was a big hog man.
Hog man?
Hog man. He was a hog man.
Okay. Like pigs?
No, I love motorcycles. The man loved motorcycles.
Oh, the hogs.
He's a hog man.
H-A-W-G hogs.
Yeah. Revving up big Harley. So, before Stanley died, he decided that he wanted to be buried with his favorite motorcycle. So this dude rolls up to the cemetery and bought just three plots. Like, he just bought three separate plots of land.
Okay, yeah.
And then he gets started building this huge plexiglass box in which, when he died, he could be forever preserved sitting on top of his motorcycle.
The bottom was reinforced with wood and steel rods to handle the extra weight. For 5 years, it sat in Stan Lee's garage. His son claimed, "If you stopped by his house, he'd show you his casket. He was proud of it." Five embalmers prepared his body and secured him with a metal back brace and straps to ensure he'd never lose his seat on his beloved bike, even as it was towed by a trailer to his final resting place.
And I know what you're thinking. And yes, there are photos of this, and they are so fucking cool.
You gotta be shitting me.
Isn't that rad? Like, it's seriously just like a like an 8 foot tall green cube that houses this guy's like big ass motorcycle.
Wow. I thought it was crazy back when we did our Lying in State episode, when we talked about the auto icon and Jeremy Bentham. I was like, wow, that's pretty wild that dude's whole setup is in a box and you can just walk by and see it. This dude took that concept and elevated it to, I don't think it can get any better than this. This is supreme. Yeah. Bury me on my motorcycle.
And like, he was married. Like, he could have been next to his wife or something. He's like, nah, fuck this. Oh, my hog.
Next to my true love.
Him buying three plots also reminds me, have you seen the Nathan For You with the pet cemetery?
No.
It's really good. He like advertises on this giant headstone at a pet cemetery, but it's for like a pet fly, and it's this, he has to buy a whole different plot in the cemetery to fit this like 6 foot by 6 foot multi-ton headstone.
Oh my god, for the fly?
For the fly. It's that like advertises for a pet supply store. It's so good. I think arguably the best part of this, though, is the picture of the box being lowered into the grave plot.
No. They got a fucking crane.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this is so brilliant.
So like, this dude was like a pretty big name in motorcycling. So he had his buddies come from all over the country, and they would just roll up to this graveyard and just like rev their hogs.
Yeah.
And there's this big crane that's lowering this dude's casket, like motorcycle casket.
Yes.
Into the plot. It's really, really good.
Oh man. This is the most American thing I've ever seen in my life. And we just talked about Hunter S. Thompson shooting his ashes out of fireworks.
There's another guy in Pennsylvania who had a Corvette, and he like loved his Corvette. It was like a bright white Corvette.
Yeah.
So when he died, he was cremated, and they put the ashes in the Corvette and just buried the Corvette, but they didn't want people like digging it up to see, so they just poured concrete over the whole thing. Which is really funny. I kind of like this. It kind of fits with the like Egyptian pharaoh idea of being buried with things you would want in the afterlife.
Yeah. And you put a curse on it so that if people dig up your Corvette, they're fucked.
Yeah. You know, I'm not, neither of us are really like suit and oak mahogany coffin guys.
Nah, not really.
So I think this idea is pretty cool. If I had to go in a coffin, I would want to go with like a bunch of fun stuff that would be kind of cool to have in a coffin with me. I don't know what I'd do with it. I'd be dead.
Bury me with my Nintendo Switch.
If you want to get Dorian another good gift for anything, just send him Switch games.
Just send me eShop bucks. I will personally thank you if you do that. I will personally kiss you if you do that.
So I love Buckwild stuff, like these big motorcycle burials and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they're not the most eco-friendly things.
You don't say.
But let's say you wanted to do something even more environmentally damaging.
All right.
Something that would punish not only this planet, but also other planets.
I like where this is heading.
Maybe you want, after you're dead, you want to fuck up the moon.
I'm listening.
This is where Celestis comes in. Celestis is, it's a pretty rad company, honestly. What they'll do is they'll take your ashes after you've died, and they'll launch them into outer space, or even just to the moon.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. Here's a bit from the About Us section of their website.
For more than two decades, Celestis has been the global pioneer and only proven provider of Memorial spaceflight services, completing more than a dozen missions for more than 1,000 families in more than 20 countries. Celestis Incorporated's Founders Flight in April 1997 inaugurated the era of Memorial spaceflights and included Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry, 1960s icon Dr. Timothy Leary, and Princeton University physicist Dr. Gerard K. O'Neill among the 24 pioneers aboard.
It's pretty cool, the idea. I've always wanted to go to space. I think I'm too tall to be an astronaut.
Would you get claustrophobic in the shuttle, or?
Yeah, you gotta be like 5'8 to do it.
Really?
You gotta be tiny, yeah.
Oh, I would. That would be unacceptable for me.
It'd both be bad.
I'd just jump out into space and die.
Open this door, get me out of here.
It's hot in here.
So Celestis offers a few different plans and pricing options. You've got the basic Earthrise plan. That starts at $1,500.
Okay.
So that one's just, you know, they just shoot your ashes straight up and you go into like, you go into space, but it's like this kind of space that one guy parachuted from.
Oh, all right.
Where like you're like up, just up really high, and it's like the technical space.
Still some atmosphere.
Yeah. If you have $5,000, you can pick the Earth Orbit Service, where you get launched into the orbit of the Earth. And this their website says, the uniquely compelling Earth Orbit Service places the Celestis spacecraft carrying cremated remains, or DNA, into orbit, where it remains until it re-enters the atmosphere, harmlessly vaporizing like a shooting star in final tribute.
Okay, that's nice.
That's a pretty rad way to...
Yeah.
Be like immolated.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just re-entering atmosphere and being a big fireball.
Yeah, that's tight.
Now, if you've got really deep pockets, they have a few more adventurous plans.
I would like to hear these.
There's the Luna plan, which starts at $12,500. That's the one where they launch you onto the moon.
All right.
I don't know how they prove that.
They just dissolve you in acid. They're like, yep. Definitely in space. Definitely on the moon. Promise.
Like, do they just crash a rocket ship into the moon and go like, all right.
Just leave it there?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that's wasteful.
They don't really elaborate a lot on that on their website, understandably.
Yeah.
But it's pretty funny to think about, like, them sitting there in their office and, like, they forgot to carry out one and, like, the ship, like, misses the moon and they're just like, whoa.
It's just fucking flying up.
Yeah, you see that crater right there? That's where your dad's at.
But dad's floated halfway to Pluto by now.
Yeah. Well, you can actually float halfway to Pluto if you shell out $14,000 for the Voyager plan.
Okay.
That's one where they just go like, whatever, and they just shoot you straight into space. Like, you just go on forever.
Oh my god.
Maybe an asteroid hits you at some point, but otherwise, like, I don't know, you just go.
I'm sure there are no consequences at all for just lobbing shit into space.
Yeah. Earth's orbit is covered in trash. There's just, like, rockets go up there and, like, astronauts will just be like, ah, fuck, I dropped a wrench. It just floats there.
Yeah, they're not going to shell out the money to go on a mission to retrieve trash from the Earth's orbit. Yeah. They're just going to leave it there.
It's getting, like, kind of problematic and it's kind of funny.
Yeah. We live on a trash planet. This shouldn't surprise you, Max.
We're polluting everything.
Yep.
You know, we're goofing on them. But to their credit, Celestis is pretty cool about the whole thing, and they're actually a pretty death-positive company. Here's some more stuff from their mission statement.
Attending a Celestis launch event brings together people from all over the world for a shared commemorative event. A chance to make new friends, to share stories about a loved one on board, and to witness, often for the first time, the power and grandeur of a launch into space is something that is cherished for years. These special memories, connections, and joys help in so many ways to lessen the loss that we feel. During the 3-day launch event, there is time for reflection, healing, and celebration. A Celestis launch is truly the ultimate memorial service.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah.
You sold me.
It actually kind of reminds me of when we talked about death in the ocean, the reef balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know?
Where, oh, like, man, those are so cool.
Yeah. Where they can't do them all at once, so they kind of wait till they get a certain amount of people who have signed up, and then it's a big group thing. But it would be cool to, you know, meet other people whose families have paid for this privilege of being shot into space and get to kind of share with them. It's kind of neat, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So let's close out on a peppy, good end note. So Dorian, I know you love big summer music festivals. Every year you're going out to Coachella and Bumbershoot, Lollapalooza.
Yeah, you know
Bump,
me.
Bump Forest. Grindsville.
I don't even know any of these now.
Shamalama.
You made that one
Shyamalan.
You made that. That's a director.
Yeah. So what's the big part of every big summer music festival?
The headlining act?
The holograms.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when people were doing, like, Tupac and shit for a while?
Yes, I do.
It's really fucking weird. I think Amy Winehouse is the next big one that they're going to do.
No.
It's so corny. It's such a bizarre, like, weird tribute that I don't understand. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
So, Bud, if you're sitting there at Coachella and you're like, oh, hell yeah, I love Tupac. I wish that was me. You know, Tupac was actually his buds took his ashes and they ground them up with some weed and then they smoked them.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is that verified though, or is that some kind
they,
of urban legend?
They that's what they claim. Okay. They say you can't prove it, but like that's what they're like, yeah, we did that. Which is pretty fucking sick.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's like, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. In a weird way, I wonder if it was what he would have wanted.
He said it was what he wanted in a song.
Oh, well then absolutely. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's like, all right, YOLO, y'all do you. But if you're standing there and you're like, wow, that Tupac hologram is really cool. I wish that could be me. Well, luckily, that can be you. You can have a hologram at your funeral thanks to Artistry in Motion Holographics.
No.
So the dude who created this company is named Carl Minardo. And he's pretty wild. Their website is full of all kinds of stuff about, like, proprietary technology, and says that they offer, quote, high wealth clientele the opportunity to create lasting life legacies and powerful impressions. And there's, like, no prices listed anywhere on the website. I don't feel bad ragging on this guy. This shit is super expensive and kind of just caters to some phenomenally rich people.
Yeah. A-list celebs only.
But the great thing about this is that this dude is actually based in Florida, which means that his story and his company is, like, ripe for local, like, really goofy local news reports on what he does. Just like this one we're about to watch here.
You coming up and talking to me, this is the closest it's ever going to be because it's three-dimensional.
Wow, that Carl Minardo. What is his logic? It's like
that incensed, like, you a little bit.
It was it's the closest you can get to the real thing because it's 3D.
And it's like, why I don't need to be at my own funeral. I don't understand the need to, like, micromanage your funeral that much where you're like, I'm gonna give my own eulogy, thank you very much.
This is the type of dude that is real stoked on uploading photos to Facebook, even though he had to ask his grandson how to do it.
But also, he's, like, maybe really smart?
I don't know. Jury's out. I think he's smart. But I think he's a smart salesman. Not that he knows the technology.
Yeah, I don't... This is something where, like, I'm like, man... Like, I think funerals are kind of a shared experience between the person who has died and the people who are attending.
Sure.
You know, if your family, like, doesn't want you to be buried in a certain way, I don't think you should just be like, fuck you, I'm going to be buried how I want.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also your funeral. So, you know, I think it should be kind of a, you should be conscientious about it. And I think kind of bulldozing everyone and being like, I don't care what you want to say about me. I'm going to have my own hologram give my eulogy.
Yeah, it definitely changes the experience. I wonder how much closure can come from something like that, where you are speaking on your own behalf at your own funeral, rather than people drawing their own conclusions about their experiences with you in their life and their interactions with you and sharing those moments.
Yeah.
It's just a very weird, different approach to it that, I don't know, I think something gets lost there.
Yeah.
But what gets added is 3D.
Is 3D and like a big dude playing a ukulele.
A furious ukulele. Like, I was really trying to track what the beat was to what he was playing.
Quick.
And he was just stabbing that ukulele with his mitts, like,
he's playing like drop G on a ukulele.
He's playing some GG Allin on it.
So, Dorian, that's what I had on putting the fun back in funeral. Do you have one of those options that you would prefer to have done?
Here's what I'm going to do. I've given this some thought.
Okay.
I want to have a hologram. And not just one hologram.
Okay, you've 180'd just, on this,
yeah,
really quickly.
Completely. I have no integrity. I want a hologram. Not just one hologram. I want two holo boxes so I can have two holograms.
Okay. Yeah.
One's going to be dressed up. It's going to have like white hair, kind of a cul-de-sac, and a big like white mustache. And the other one's going to have a gray cul-de-sac and it would make a real grumpy face.
What's a cul-de-sac?
You know, the cul-de-sac where it's like bald and on top, oh, but the okay. hair goes around the middle. It's an old people haircut.
Sure, yeah.
But I'm gonna have to, like, both of me, like, with those haircuts and dressed in suits and roasting me real hard during my own funeral, I'm gonna dress up as Statler and Waldorf for my own funeral. Talk about
just be like dunking on your corpse.
Well, you had a pretty good life. You're pretty good for an idiot. Oh! And that will provide my family and my loved ones the closure that I believe they need. Where they can walk away from that funeral confident and, yeah, Dorian was a dork.
Yeah, maybe it's good that we're putting him in the crowd.
We'll miss him, but, you know, it was his time to go because he was a real doofus.
I'm going to space, man. I just want to be like, shoot me into the moon. Like, really fuck the moon up. I want to ruin another planet.
I want whatever vessel is carrying me to destroy the moon.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This was fun.
This
was
fun.
This was a very silly... It was a silly episode, but amazingly, they were all factual things that made it silly.
Yeah.
Things that you can legitimately do with your body that are very, very silly.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It's not just like a big, boring box, but like, I don't know, shoot yourself into space, whatever.
Or you just combine them.
Or don't have a funeral.
I want to be shot into space on a motorcycle.
Elon Musk.
He fucking would. Max, thank you for putting this pile of good, good stories together. It was very entertaining.
Yeah, no problem.
And thank you for listening. We want to hear from y'all. What do you want to do with your body when you die? You freaking weirdos.
I don't want to hear if you want a clown to come and fart at your funeral. If you want, I don't want to hear.
I do. You can still send those messages to us.
It's gross.
We're on social media at PreDeadBoys. You can email us predeadboys@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast, tell your friends about it. Tell your friends about how you want to die and what you want to do at your funeral.
Make sure people know.
Let them know. You can also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher, and we'll give you a shout-out on the next episode. You can also tip us $3 or more on ko-fi.com/predeadboys. And you know what? Someone did that very thing.
This is the most, like, inconceivable kindness.
It is. Thank you.
For us talking about fucking farting clowns.
Well, we bring some good stuff to the table for people to think about. We're not goofing all the time.
We do.
We didn't goof too much during the Middle East episode.
We did not.
We took it pretty seriously, learning about different cultures. Anyway, speaking of taking things seriously, a man named Anaconda Vice gave us money.
Yeah, I just assume that was like a fighting thing and you... I don't know.
I don't know if Anaconda Vice is like... If this person is a rapper or maybe a wrestler, that is CM Punk's signature move, the Anaconda Vice. So
okay,
I don't know.
Yeah, I knew it was something.
I don't know, but let me tell you, I love it because you gave us money to offset our hosting fees, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Vice.
He says, keep up the good work. Love the show. Drew, a.k.a. Anaconda Vice from Albany, New York. Thanks a lot. We really appreciate that. That's really awesome.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I've never been to Albany. I can't say anything about
it. Me neither. I just know it's at the top of the Hudson.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, Yeah, tell us what the deal is with your name there, Anaconda Vice.
I know Self-Defense Family did a video for one of the songs off their new album where they did a day in the life of a guy who worked at like a DP Doe in Albany, New York.
DP Doe is a chain?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought there was just one on Ohio State campus.
No.
Wow, chain. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that's all. That's what I know about Albany, is that Self-Defense Family did a video.
And there is a DP Doe there.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself in Albany, you at least can get some really greasy, cheesy food.
Yeah.
Our intro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. Check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. That's going to do it for us. That's it.
That's it, man.
That's the end.
Go to space. Jump out a window.
Go to space. Shoot your ashes into space.
Fuck the moon. I hate it. Up there laughing at me, staring down at us with its one beady eye.
Also, it's not really Tupac. It's just a hologram. Holograms aren't really a big deal. We're going to get over it. Like, you remember when the Nintendo Wii came out? People got tired of it after a while.
Yeah, we just started using the GameCubes.
They were like, actually, I kind of miss real bowling. Maybe I'll actually go to a real bowling alley.
I went real bowling last night.
Oh, did you?
Uh-huh.
How'd you bowl? Did you do good?
No, I didn't do as good as I thought I could have.
Let me tell you, I got over 100 maybe 3 times in my life bowling. I'm okay. A very bad bowler.
I have my own bowling ball and bowling shoes. Please end the episode now.
That's humiliating. Max and Dorian here reminding you, you're gonna rock.
Bye.
100%.
What? Where's Audacity at? Still going? You still recording?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay, I got a little worried there. I was like, where is it?
It's minimized.
Oh, you can make things tiny on computers.
Wow.